It's Friday, and it's time for Let's Eat with me, Chef Nick. Join us from 3 to 4 for an hour of food, drink, and a little information. Call in and have a chance to win a gift card. Call 769-9577. Thanks for tuning in to Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM. Good afternoon, Lakeshore listeners. Thanks for joining us here on Let's Eat with Sharon Jackson and me, Chef Nick. Woo! Just got done with lunch. Just got into the studio. Tom had a bunch of musicians in here playing. And we brought the food, and they got out to get the food, maybe.
Yeah, if they're smart, they should be.
Yeah, so we want the people to call in today, 769-9577. We have a special guest here from Valparaiso. He brought in some really delicious stuff. He does some really creative things. I've been excited about this interview for a few weeks now. Kind of hard guy to get a hold of sometimes, but he finally talked to me. So we got, we're going to have Nick from Albano's on from Valparaiso, Albano's Pasta Shop.
Nice.
So what's going on out
there?
Love
a little bit of pasta. Oh, we got the Cruising Through the Times exhibits at the Indiana Welcome Center. That is going on through April 28th, I believe. That's one cool thing going on. They always have fun stuff.
What day is it on? The 29th?
Oh, it goes through April 28th.
Yeah. You know, we don't even know what the weather is around here. Today, I feel like it's ready to be wrapping Christmas presents and getting ready for Christmas on the weekend. And Sunday, I'm going to be, in my Speedo outside getting a tan.
I'm going to go get my golf cart.
I live in a season, so we could drive those golf carts around. I think I'm going to get mine out of storage and suntan and drive around and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. If I should wear a sweater or a bathing suit.
Look what he has. Doesn't that look beautiful?
Yeah, she's awesome. She's awesome.
We need a picture of that. That looks like something that should be on Bon Appetit.
Nice,
and that's what we're going to be talking about.
There, D.
Yeah, nice.
Beautiful.
So, folks, thanks for joining us here on 89.1 FM, WLPR. We're Lakeshore Public Radio here in Maryville. We have this crazy blowtorch that we're sending out all this information about food today. And we got to get to that restaurant in Valparaiso, and we've got to get there fast.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're going to take US 30. Well, there used to be a drag strip there when I was a kid, but we're going to take US 30, and we're going to tell all the state police to stay away because we're going to zoom right down to Albano's. Yeah, I know.
Albano's.
When he gets on, he's going to say it.
He's going to tell us what it is.
I know. Is this mulch we're walking in? I know there's no snow
anymore. It's gravel. Get in.
Got it. You know, for having a Bugatti, I don't understand why the doors are so, rusted.
You know,
Sharon's a great driver, Nick. She is.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You
can trust me.
I can trust you. I don't even wear my seatbelt. Don't say anything while you're driving because that's how much I trust you.
Just don't tell the cops. You know,
what are we going to do when we have electric cars? We're not going to have no sound like this.
You should have a picture of a seatbelt on your shirt so that way the cops think you're still wearing it.
I drew it with my black marker that I...
Oh, we're here?
We're here in Valparaiso.
It was fast.
Real fast. And we got Nick here from Albano's from Valparaiso.
Going,
yeah, good. How you doing, Nick?
Thanks for coming in.
You know what? If you would like to call in, 769-9577, and Nick's got gift cards to Albano's pasta shop in Valparaiso. It's really a quaint place. It's a great setting, and I tell you what, the food is terrific. And I think he makes a lot of things from scratch too.
We make a little bit by scratch. We tell everyone we do, but most of it's just bought in.
No, it's not true. No. I've been there. And if you see his reviews on Facebook and the other things, he's pretty much a five star kind of place. It's really kind of
really
neat.
That's
well. You
cool.
See, look what D has.
I know.
It's something so like
nice.
You would get out of Chicago.
It's
Nick,
beautiful.
Why don't you give us a little background about yourself? You're a young guy.
Oh, all right. Well, I grew up in a big Italian family. I started cooking when I was 8 years old, mostly because I was fat.
And were you? Really?
I was so fat that if you saw me and you were driving in your car, you would stop to marvel at how fat I was.
Are you making this up?
No, that's true. That's how much I love.
You're skinny now.
You started cooking at 8. What was the first thing you think you can remember what you cooked?
Well, we've got one picture in the restaurant. I love myself that much. Like I said, I'm a bit of a narcissist.
Yeah.
So I've got one picture of myself in the restaurant when I was about 4 years old, 3 years old, and it's of me eating pasta. My mom made it, and it's just dangling in front of my face.
And did she make it from scratch?
I don't think that one, but I did grow up with a lot of my family members just doing everything by hand. And uh-huh. You could taste the love and everything. We'd have giant family parties where food was the center.
Is right. The picture in color or black and white?
It's in color. You can see how ugly and how big my pores are in person. I would prefer it to be in black and white to hide some of that, but family photo, it's very like 90s, 80s-esque.
Nice. Where'd you graduate from?
Chesterton.
Oh, really?
In 2009.
Well, he's a young guy.
Yeah, he is.
He's very young. Very young. So what other jobs did you do, I mean, to get yourself ready to own your own business? I mean, I have my own, and it's... You know, it's a task.
Well, honestly, I've only been cooking for a few weeks.
Come to my restaurant, I'll train you a little bit.
So you were 8 years old just a few weeks ago.
Yeah. Eight years old a few weeks ago. If you've ever seen Benjamin Button, I am the real-life version of him.
Nice.
No, that's a joke. But no, I started at a very young age. I did a lot of apprenticeships. So like my first one was at Charlie Trotter's in Chicago.
Okay.
And... he would bring me in, and I did all this for free just to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, I would kind of go the Michelin tour. So it was Trotter's, a place called Alinea that maybe a few people know. And from there, like L2O, North Pond out of Chicago. And then one of my mentors, like my favorite chef that I've ever worked for, Paul Kahn, took me under his wing in Chicago. And I worked Blackbird, Avec for a while, Publican. It just kind of went... tour to tour, place to place, and learned as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I started really being passionate about cooking when I was eight. I had like this morbid thought. My mom used to cook almost every meal growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And being a fat kid, I would look forward to that dinner every single night. I'd dream about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember having this weird realization. My grandmother passed away a little bit before it. And I go, who's going to carry on these traditions? Who's going to cook for my family if I ever have one and instill that type of love in the food that my mom did or that my grandmother did or that, you know, other people in my family did? So I started absorbing as much knowledge as I could or just, you know, staying in the kitchen and experimenting and feeding it to my little brother. But yeah, that's how I started. And then I would read a lot of books, read a lot of food chemistry books, and just try to really absorb as much as possible about what I was doing. So
you've always worked in the food industry?
Always.
Always. Never like drove a nail into a piece of wood or anything like that?
I was Tom Cruise's stunt double a little bit because of my good looks. but that's not a sustainable job.
Do you have family members working with you?
Yeah, I've got my mom working with me about 5 days out of the week. She has been with me since I started about 5 years ago.
You've been there 5 years?
We've been in Valpo for about a year and a half. Uh-huh. We started in Chesterton in a tiny 500-square-foot hole in the wall about 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Those are usually the best places.
It was magic. There was a little bit of magic in it. I started with absolutely nothing. Like, I was... somebody who had no money. I was always, you know, in the moment, not really saving for bigger things.
Mm-hmm.
But I had no money to begin with. I had no credit score. It was horrendous.
Mm-hmm.
But I was always in talks with other people to do something. So I was just persistent, or like my dad says, stupid, and just went. You know, continued, despite any bump in the road or any setback. And eventually something materialized. And like I said, that little 500-square-foot hole in the wall, we had no kitchen. It was a hot dog stand before us. And it was just me, my mom, my little brother, and a lot of love.
Do you miss it?
I do. I really do, yeah.
So how did it grow?
Quickly. Like I said, we started cooking everything off of campfire burners or electric induction cooktops.
Mm-hmm. So this way you didn't have a hood?
We had no hood.
That's why I like in a restaurant, no hood.
It was pretty much a food truck indoors.
Yeah,
it was very, you know, everything was off of necessity. We started with a tiny convection oven that you would find like in a dorm room in a college. And I would come in at like 4 in the morning, bake these little tiny loaves of bread for service. We had no tables. Everything was to go. Our menu was on a chalkboard. We I had no money for a sign outside, so it was just anybody walking by who would smell the garlic.
And I bet you this. I bet you have less pressure then than you have now.
Yes and no. In the beginning, because like I said, I literally started with nothing. There was so much pressure just to make it work. Mm-hmm. Otherwise,
right?
There's nothing left. Mm-hmm. So in the beginning, there was pressure. It took off, thankfully, because Chesterton was an amazingly supportive community, and they really made what I have now what it is. Mm-hmm. So it was cool to be part of that. It was cool to see people lift me up in the neighborhood that I grew up in, you know, teachers that taught me in school, or, you know, people that had my dad as a coach in like Little League, they would stop by, neighbors. It was wonderful to see the support.
So you've went around and you kind of like a Rhodes Scholar. You went, you know, people used to ask me, boy, you worked at a lot of places before you started your own. But that's kind of how you learn. When you go to different places, you learn little tricks, little secrets, flavor profiles.
Yeah.
And then you start. Go ahead.
No. I was going to elaborate a bit. You're absolutely right. I stole all of my recipes for the restaurant from every person I've ever worked for. So if anyone is listening, I am a fraud. And I've stole everything. No, but you, I mean, kidding aside, you do, you pick up little techniques, you pick up, you know.
How to flavor. Do things faster,
yeah,
everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? It's amazing. And what I was going to say is you did all that. Now walk us to your new place and tell us what the atmosphere is of the place in Valparaiso, what streets it's on, and what people can expect when they walk in. Because Sharon, you need to go there.
Okay,
it's a very cool place.
If you want to. You don't have to.
I totally do. Okay.
Tell everyone what Albino's is like.
It's a tiny hole in the wall. It kind of looks like where a gypsy might live for a little bit. It's very minimalistic. It's kind of reflective of me.
Once again, usually the best places.
Yeah. But we're right off of Lincoln Way. We're smack dab right in the middle of downtown Valpo, and we're off of Washington Street, which is kind of like a little artisan street. We've got Old World Market, you know, like a minute down the road. We've got Elements Wine
Bar right there.
Yeah, Aftermath, Elements Wine Bar. We've got Meditrina, one of my favorite restaurants in the world.
Trying to get her on.
Yeah, she's awesome. And we're right there. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, people that are passionate about what they're doing, and we're like right in the middle. So we're lucky in that sense. It's a very attractive space, but it's tiny. We seat about 32 people, and it becomes what it is at night. It's alive pretty much, and so we fill up pretty quickly. We do reservations, but it's a very tiny minimalistic space, kind of taking off of you know, my experiences in the cities and even abroad a bit. I spent a little bit of time in Sweden and Norway, and a lot of the restaurants there that I ate in or worked at were very minimalistic, bare walls, kind of stucco, and everything was about the food. And if it wasn't about the food, it was about the hospitality side, which, growing up in a big Italian family, that is my favorite part of owning a restaurant, is connecting with the people. So We did it by design, just kind of minimalistic, you know, just a few hanging lights. It's dim, it's dark, so you don't see the flaws in the food. That's a joke.
The food's beautiful. All they have to do is go on the website and just see the different styles of foods and different pastas and stuff like that.
For the longest time, I always thought that I was going to be in the art realm somewhere, so like paint, sketching, doing something like that. And food was a good way to kind of incorporate something that I grew up with. My grandfather was, and still is, an amazing artist. Mm-hmm. So I used to grow up painting and sketching with him all the time, and making the transition over to a different medium, food, it was combining both. So in a lot of ways, the food is my artwork. It's something that I care a lot about. And it's very simple food. It's supposed to, you know, mimic the food that I grew up with. But there's a lot of dedication to tiny, tiny, tiny details. And hopefully you can taste the love in it.
Folks, you're joining us here on Let's Eat with Sharon Jackson and me, Chef Nick. We're on 89.1 FM, WLPR. And we want you to call in, 769-9577, 769-9577. And I have Nick here from Abiano's pasta shop in Valparaiso. Quaint place. He's underscoring the whole place. When I went in there, it's got nice earth tones. You get to see the. It's an open kitchen. Nick's in there cooking, and it smells beautiful. And Nick, you didn't say in the springtime, in the summer, you have something else. You have an outdoor seating, don't you?
We do. We've got. We're actually expanding it a little bit. We've got enough seating.
Well, you got the city to break out some concrete?
No, I don't follow the rules, so I'm just doing whatever I want. We're putting tables in the street. It's whatever I want.
So. But you know that street, Nick, is so cool. You guys got those the lights hanging across. What are those
really
called?
Wish
cantina lights.
Yeah, or? Yeah, for sure. I really wish that they would do away with the park. And just kind of do, you know, let all the shops come together, let
right.
all the restaurants come together and do a giant, like, collective outdoor seating.
Do they light those lights up at?
They do.
They
yeah.
do.
Yeah.
Do you guys ever close off the street for anything?
We've got Popcorn Fest in Belleville. Yeah. We do that. You know, a few festivals here and there, but not really.
Really, it's such a quaint street.
It is.
It's something
it really
that you
is.
Would see like off it, the side of downtown Chicago. Somewhere.
It does, and it seems like it doesn't get the attention that it deserves. Not my place, of course, but that strip in general.
Right.
Is just,
you need bat lights.
Yeah.
Who we got
Maybe
on the
we
phone, Sharon?
We have his mother. No, I'm just kidding. Roxanne
oh,
from
I
Crown
believe
Point.
That.
Roxanne, how are you doing?
Oh, pretty good. Pretty good.
Well, you got a question for Nick?
Yes, I do. Does your restaurant, well, two questions. Like, I know you sell your pasta frozen,
yeah.
but like if you wanted to or have something ahead of time, like some of your entrees,
yeah,
could
sure.
it be prepared and that not served, I mean, bought hot, but
yeah.
like you would be made ahead of time that you
oh,
could
absolutely.
Have it later in the week or something or
no,
be
that's,
frozen?
That's a great question. And we get a lot of people phoning in at the restaurant all the time to have prepared meals made in it.
Advanced, yeah.
Exactly. And I usually tell them, you can always do it. You don't have to give us much notice. You can call the same day. You can pick up in an hour. The only thing that I want, though, is maybe a little bribe. So like a $20 bill,
okay.
50 maybe, just for the trouble of doing it. But yeah, I'll always do it. I am a capitalist. I do have a business.
Wait, you know, you got to tell Roxanne that you used to do improv too, right?
A little bit. Don't tell anyone.
Roxanne, have you ever been to Albino's pasta shop in Valparaiso?
I've been to that location and the one in Chesterton.
I think I know who I'm talking to. I do.
You still have the one open in Chesterton?
No,
okay.
Sadly, that's the one with all the magic. The one in Valpo is too. It's very small. It's quaint. I'm there every night.
Mm-hmm.
We have an amazing staff. We went from three people to about 17 now.
Wow,
nice.
And it's a nice little happy family. Very talented staff.
Your food is delicious.
Yeah.
I'm eating it right
Roxanne,
now.
Roxanne, what
it's
when
like
you
a 5 out of 10, right?
Roxanne, when you go there, what do you usually get?
Well, like, what was it? The grandma's lasagna was there?
Yeah,
mom's lasagna.
That's a very comforting dish. A lot of
yes.
people order that. And it's modeled after the same lasagna that I grew up with. So
mm-hmm.
we start with handmade pasta. We've got about 8 to 10 layers in between.
That's a lot. That is
a
lot.
Very thin, though. Very
yeah.
thin. We make about 150 pounds of fresh ricotta cheese each week. So
you make the ricotta?
We do.
Wow. It's, Roxanne, did you know they made the ricotta?
No.
Wow.
Every aspect of the restaurant, it's a very simple menu, but we try very hard to do everything by hand. So the bread that we start you off with is done in-house each day. It's something that I've been working on for the last 15 years. I used to do bread in Chicago. I used to do bread in some of the other cities. And it's just a very simple, rustic Italian loaf, high hydration,
mm-hmm.
which means a lot of moisture, a lot of water. And the outside crust gets a little caramelized, a little
right.
brown, more brown than a lot of people are used to.
Mm-hmm. But the inside's nice and soft.
The inside is nice and soft. It's spongy. It's a great vehicle for soaking up sauce, oil, you know, the leftover slops in your bowl after you're done eating.
That's what Karen, Sharon's doing right now, Roxanne.
Yeah, yeah, that's my,
she's eating the bread, and she's
that's my favorite
picking
thing
up
to see
the sloppy
people,
stuff
yep.
on the bottom of the plate.
That's what I'm doing.
You know, and Roxanne, Nick from Albano's Pasta Cafe in Valparaiso is
yeah.
going to send you out a gift card so
absolutely.
You can visit them again. And you know what? You don't have to get the lasagna. There's a lot of other things there.
Well, the other question I did have is I noticed on your menu that, well, two things, that you had salmon. It was non-pasta items,
yeah.
But do you do other things rather than fish, like a chicken?
Yeah, for sure. We're actually doing our spring menu right now, so lamb is going to make a debut. It's largely pasta centric, being a pasta shop, of course. Mm-hmm. But we are going to try to branch out a little bit, and not everyone does carbs. Not everyone does pasta, mm-hmm. And we do have non-carb pastas that we offer, but that's another story for another time, possibly.
Right. So we're going to send her out a gift card?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's
do it. Roxanne, okay. We're going to send you out a gift card. Sharon's got your address, and
okay.
Thanks for calling in, and thanks for listening.
Okay, thanks. Looking forward to going again. Bye.
Folks, it's that easy. Dial in 769-9577, 769-9577, and ask Nick Albinos out of Albinos Pasta Shop in Valparaiso some pasta questions. And you know what? He'll be happy to send you a gift card. Tell us, you make all your pasta from scratch?
Yeah. We've got about 15 to 16, 17 different pastas on the menu right now.
So what shapes do you make?
Circles, squares, triangle, all the shapes that you, rhombuses. I'm just kidding. So we specialize mostly in filled pastas. So
you mean filled like raviolis?
Ravioli, tortellini. They're really tortelloni, which are giant tortellini, or cappelletti. Mm-hmm. But being in the region that we're in, and a lot of people are not so familiar with those names, we don't want to be pretentious. We don't want to be, you know, as I guess exact as possible with the names.
Mm-hmm.
But we do want people to try it. So mm-hmm. tortellini is a name that a lot of people know. Ravioli is a name that a lot of people know and are familiar with, and they're comfortable ordering.
So all the pasta is all the same, but you just pipe it in different shapes?
Kind of. We've got about three different doughs that we play around with.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
One through our extruder is mostly, really nice semolina flour, a higher bread, kind of like a bread flour, mm-hmm. higher protein. And then we add whole eggs or water to it. Most of our pastas are made with eggs in-house, but we also do vegan pasta as well, which is just semolina and flour. We do gluten-free pasta. All of our pastas on our menu can be. Is everyone listening?
Yes, I am.
Gluten-free as well. So you can buy a lot of gluten-free pastas in the grocery store. They're usually extruded. So extruded shapes are like your rigatoni, your spaghetti, your fusilli, things like that, farfalle. We specialize in the ones that the machines can't do very well, which would be tortellini, ravioli, things that you fold, things that you shape, things that you manipulate. And it's something I've been doing for about 8 to 10-ish years. And I'll put it out there, not to pat myself on the back. I would never want to do that. But if you compared it side by side with our regular pasta, you would never tell
the
difference.
You mean the gluten-free?
Yeah.
Huh?
Have you invented any signature shapes of your own?
Yes, but they're all inappropriate, and I can't describe it.
Folks, if you want to find out about these inappropriate pasta shapes, call in 769-9577, 769-9577, and speak with Nick from Albano's Pasta Shop out of Valparaiso. They have a lot of unique things, and he has a gift card to give you if you give us a call and ask us a good question here. So gluten-free, that's in my restaurant, we just buy it in.
Yeah.
Tell us what is in a gluten-free mix.
I'm happy to do that, but you have to sign a non-compete and a full non-disclosure.
Well, I don't need the amounts, but what do you make for like, what do you use?
Yeah,
like,
no,
I hear beet flour, I hear all.
Yeah, you could use all that. It's really manipulating starches. So when I was in the cities working for these molecular restaurants that knew how to manipulate different proteins and starches and carbs, and it was like a scientific lab.
Yeah,
it was a kitchen too. It really intrigued me, and I used to do a lot of reading on my own and studying. So over the years, I kind of developed my own mix, and it's very simple.
Mm-hmm.
But we're using isolated tapioca starch. We're using arrowroot and potato starch.
Mm-hmm.
And we're excluding rice flours, soy flours, because a lot of people with celiac, a lot of people right. with gluten intolerance.
You know, they blend it to other
right.
intolerances.
Exactly.
Right.
So we try to keep it as simple as possible. We have our secret ingredient, which is...
You know, it's a talent.
Oh, I don't okay. care. I don't care. Try me. Okay. We'll do like a beat Bobby Flay, beat Nick Albano. Uh-huh. In gluten-free pasta. It's psyllium husk. Psyllium husk is the main ingredient in Metamucil.
Okay.
So not only is my pasta the gluten-free type, very similar to the other one in taste and texture and mouthfeel, but it also keeps you regular for about 2 weeks.
Well, let me ask, do you now? She's the lady Roxanne had called in and said,
yeah.
You sell these things by the pound. You
yeah,
sell,
we do, yeah. We sell them by the pound, we sell them frozen wholesale too. And you can walk in pretty much any time. I don't know how to say the word no. Anyone
okay.
listening, you can definitely take advantage of that. I will pretty
you're
much,
a yes man,
yeah, pretty much. I've got a low self esteem, very little confidence. I will say anything. For you to like me or do anything.
Or eat your food.
Yeah, pretty much. But no, I, at the end of the day, my restaurant isn't, I mean, this is bad business practices. Don't tell anyone. Shh. But it's not so much about having a business. It's not so much about, you know, doing it for the money or what I can do with it. It's more so about connecting with the people that come in and providing them, you know, a meal that they leave feeling full, not only in their stomachs, but in their heart. So anything I can do, I will always go out of my way to do it. We've had people that want off menu items and I'll do the best I can, or they come in and they want different shapes that are not on the menu, or they want something that they grew up with. And within reason, within reason, I'll always do it. We have an amazing staff. We have a lot of people that are dedicated, industry people that have been there for 15, 20 years, just working what they're good at.
Mm-hmm.
And it's allowed me to kind of identify what the customers want and give it to them.
You know how people always like when they're ready to boil pasta, they got to like, oh, let's throw salt in the water. Let's throw butter in the water.
Yeah.
What do you do? Do you do anything special to your boiling water for your pasta?
Yeah, we actually do. I grew up very Catholic, and we start with holy water. That way, if anybody doesn't like it, it's not my fault.
I have some in my car.
It's Gus' fault. So we start with the whole, we just take water and we salt it like
the
sea. Oh,
you do salt it.
And we do salt it. Of course, we've got giant vats of boiling pasta water, mm-hmm. you know, throughout the entire night.
Now, do you cook it from fresh, or do you cook it, hold it, and then reheat it?
So we do every single order fresh. So the pasta goes in fresh. Each sauce is made in the pan fresh.
Oh, really?
We don't hold it in a steam tray. It is in the pan fresh and minimalistic. So I grew up, and the food that I ate was very simple. But like I said earlier, you can taste the love in it.
Mm-hmm.
I remember my grandma telling me when I was younger, we would be making food together, or my mom. And my mom is my biggest critic ever, but she's amazing to work with. Like, she's the reason why I cook. And having her in the kitchen tasting my food, she always gets it back down to simple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, me being chef brain.
Right, you start adding too much.
Too much. Yeah. And Italian food that I grew up with was all about simplicity. It's about, you know, three or four ingredients. When I worked for Paul Kahn in Chicago, it was three or four ingredients on the plate and don't mess them up.
Mm-hmm.
Take the best ingredients possible. And don't mess them up.
Less is better.
Less is always better, yeah.
Less is more.
Yeah. Or less is
less
more.
Less is more. I think that's a Charmin toilet paper commercial. Less is more, but it also carries over into food.
Well, that's what they taught me. My mentor taught me that when I was learning radio.
Yeah.
Less is more.
Yeah.
Say less.
Folks, we've got about a half hour left. And if you want to join in the conversation with Nick Albano from Albano's Pasta Shop in Valparaiso, give us a call, 769-9577. Nick has gift cards to give out. All he wants is a good question. I have a question for you. How many different sauces do you make?
That is a good question. We definitely do your basics. We cover them. We've got reduced cream. We've got my grandmother's gravy, you know, the 6-hour, 8-hour simmered tomato-based sauce. which I pretty much brush my teeth with. It just perfumes off of me every single day.
Your teeth are nice and clean. Your lips are red, but
it's the acidity in that tomato sauce. It just, you know, brightens up the teeth. but no, it's
do an Alfredo.
We do that. You know, all your basics, but most of our sauces, air quote sauces, are just reintroducing like fresh, locally sourced ingredients into the pasta. The pasta is always the star. Mm-hmm. We just try to do as little as possible to it. So olive oil, garlic, you know, some fresh broccolini in our broccoli tortellini.
Sounds good.
It's broccoli that we get from a local farm that we just very lightly cook down. It gets toasted garlic. And then we make almost a broccoli pesto, or what we call in the restaurant a broccamole. And we just puree the heck out of it until it's nice and smooth. And we pipe that right in the middle of the pasta, and you bite into it, and it's just a burst of broccoli. We do the same thing with one of our most popular dishes, the tomato basil tortellini. Mm-hmm. And we get tomatoes, again, grown for us specifically year-round from a local farmer.
Wow.
And we roast them until they look shriveled up, almost like Betty White's face. And they're nice and dry, and we blend them until it's a nice paste, and it's concentrated, and it's intense. And we add Thai basil, roasted garlic, a little bit of salt and pepper. It's dairy-free. It's vegan, if we're using the vegan dough. And it's just a complete, intense punch in the face of tomato. And you bite into it, and that's what you get. So it's a very simple pasta. We do some sauces, but we really try to keep it as bare minimal as possible. So
you are listening to Let's Eat with Chef Nick. Thanks for listening. Give Chef Nick a call at 219-769-9577 to take part in the conversation or ask a question, and you could win a gift card to Chef Nick's Eatery in Winfield, or you could win a prize from one of his guests. 219-769-9577. That'll get you right to Chef Nick at Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM.
Thanks for joining us here on Let's Eat with Sharon Jackson and me, Chef Nick. And today our guest is Nick Albino from Albino's Pasta Shop out of Valparaiso. He makes everything from scratch. Let me ask you, do you get anything canned in, like plum tomatoes or paste or anything like that?
Well, I don't know if you noticed, my hair is kind of curly. We do get cans in, but it's mostly to curl my hair. I wrap it around.
So you actually, like everything you do, you make your own tomato paste?
Well, we do in the summer, and we try to carry it over. We do supplement when we have to.
Yeah.
But when I worked at Charlie Trotter's in Chicago, one of the things that sticks out was we had no refrigerator.
What?
We did, but it wasn't to hold food. It was to hold items that we were going to cook with that night.
Right.
When I worked there, we had no freezer. We weren't holding food. It was about sourcing ingredients and cooking with them in that moment. So we try to implement that as much as possible. Of course, being where we are, it doesn't always work out that way. But we try to do it as much as possible, and we try to source as locally as possible. And most of our salads on the menu, we're getting greens from local farmers out in North Judson or New Carlisle or DeMott. And we're just incorporating local ingredients as much as possible.
Any hydroponic items? Or are they
not?
All?
Not right now. We used to fool around with that a little bit, but I'm a weirdo and I like dirt.
like to wash it, like to see it come.
I mean, if you look at me, if it's any you know, reflection of who I am, I look like I like dirt, right? I'm kind of
no.
I look like a gypsy vagabond, probably who's always in the dirt. But no, it's one of my favorite things in the world is to see where the food is coming from, or even forage it ourselves. And we do a fair amount of that too. Like mushroom season, we go and we pick mushrooms. We have a forager who comes in. He's pretty much my brother at this point. He's in so often, and he gives us beautiful things that grow around us. And it's our job to highlight them.
So I bet you, Sharon,
that's really cool.
Nick is the type of guy, if his landlord let him go up on the roof, you would probably grow a garden up
there.
That's my dream. I've talked
did
about
I read
that.
Your mind?
You did. You picked that right out of it. Like a nice ripe berry. That's
you think
what
it
you
makes
did.
For
you
better food?
That idea.
Definitely.
It cools the building down too. They say it works. No, it works. It works. Yeah. When you put the plants down there,
I'm sure my energy bill would definitely appreciate that.
Mayor Daley was really into that.
He was. Chicago is making leaps. Like they've got so many rooftop gardens. A lot of the restaurants that I worked at, even if it was a little tiny humble place, they would have means of growing their own food in house, whether it's herbs or little cherry tomatoes. But
it's amazing what herbs would just save you.
Yeah,
if you just grow your herbs.
Yeah,
you know, and it probably would smell it down the street. It'd probably be whiffing down the street. Is that the word?
Yeah, you get a whiff.
A whiff.
Absolutely,
folks. You want to whiff a little bit of Italian food? Give us a call. Talk to Nick Albino from Albino's Pasta Shop in Valparaiso. He's got a gift card, and just give a call 769-9577. Do you guys do anything with alcohol?
I do right now.
I'm not talking when you're drinking out of that coffee cup. You're lying to us.
This is a black coffee with an extra shot. There is no booze in this whatsoever.
So do you guys deal with alcohol there?
Yeah, we do actually. We're kind of a wine bar, but not really advertised as one. One of my biggest passions is, it's a pasta shop. What goes better with pasta than
wine?
Wine. But we also have a really amazing craft beer menu as well. So we offer both. We don't have any mixed drinks. We don't have anything that's hard per se. But we do have a lot of really unique, affordable wines that we diligently source.
I bet your place just chatters at night when you get all the people in there and they're drinking a little bit of wine. Sharon, that's the best.
It is.
Isn't that the best sound? I don't think people realize that.
It sounds like every holiday that I grew up with.
Yeah.
Like every Christmas in my family, it's just loud. A lot of people packed into a small space and they're eating food. And a lot of people get up from these tables and they interact with other people. So it's a nice place to socialize.
You'd like really just to stand back and look at what you've
created. No, I hide in the back and go, what did I do?
No.
Oh, no.
You out there when just giving out, you're giving signatures out there.
I do charge for that, though. Every signature that I give, it's another $15. People that are listening in, it's $15 for a signature, $20 for a picture with me. Again, I am a
just go to Albino's Pasta Shop in Valparaiso, and Nick will be happy to give you a little signature. What kind of proteins do you offer there?
Oh, that's a good question.
You brought something here that was a little bit different, but tell us about the proteins, then we'll go over these dishes.
Sure. I'm kind of a veggie guy, so I grew up in kitchens. I love vegetables that we source locally, and we've got a lot of offerings on the menu that are very veggie-centric. If you're a vegan, if you're a vegetarian, that could appeal to you. So it's whatever we can get our hands on, and it's usually seasonal. Our menu does change with the season. Not as aggressively as other restaurants would, but a few times out of the quarter, we'll change up the menu, and we just try really hard to focus on the goods that are being brought to us by the farmers. So like right now, we've got a really nice charred cabbage dish, which would give you all of the ideas of like a nice seared caramelized steak.
Oh, okay.
And it's kind of Middle Eastern, but Italy gets a lot of Middle Eastern influence, especially around the islands.
Right.
So it's a very rich dish. It's a very earthy, filling dish without having any type of animal product whatsoever, aside from, maybe a little yogurt on top that we can always do away with. So we've got a lot of veggie dishes, but the proteins that we do offer, we do try to, switch it up. We're not giving you, the classics. Like we do have a chicken tortellini. Mm-hmm. We've got a braised short rib tortellini, which is probably one of our most popular dishes. Mm-hmm. And we braise it for 12 hours and we pick it off the bone.
Oh, wow.
And like Hannibal Lecter, we wear the skin over our face while we pick the meat off the bone, and we concentrate the juice.
And
juices.
You drink a lot of Chianti with that.
You have to. You have to. But we reduce the juices until it becomes a nice gelatinous meat, like hockey puck, and we incorporate that back into the short rib. So it's meat on meat, and then Parmigiano Reggiano, a little bit of roasted garlic, and it's very simple. But it's a light dish, and we take that meat, and we stick it inside the pasta.
Wow.
Instead of doing it on top. And it's one of our most popular dishes. It's comforting. It's light. You can eat about a million of them and not feel weighed down. But we do have those two basics, the chicken and the short rib. And then we try to go a little bit different. And we've got a braised rabbit tortellini.
And you brought that. Did you bring that? Is that what you brought?
I did, yeah.
And did you try that?
I believe I did.
I grew up with stories of my dad visiting his family in Brooklyn. And he goes, yeah, rabbit is Brooklyn chicken. That's what they used to call it, like city chicken. And that's always been in my head, and I always wanted to, you know, offer something on the menu. And rabbit, especially the local rabbit that we get, it's very similar to chicken. It's a very good intro into, I guess, wild game. It's not very intimidating. But we get a really good source, and we just confit. Confit is to cook in its own fat, pretty much. So we take the rabbit, or cook in fat, rather. So we take the rabbit, and we cook it in a mix of duck fat and pork fat, and that's what I call dork fat. So duck and pork.
So you have duck there, too?
We do, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's also cooked in its own fat, which is kind of morbid, but it's so delicious. So this rabbit gets cooked in its own fat, or in fat, and we pick it off the bone, and it gets a little bit of lemon zest. It's all about, you know, introducing things that make the rabbit shine. So lemon zest, acidity, it makes, you know, the dish a little bit brighter, little bit of chili, little bit of garlic, fresh chives, and then cream. And we just keep the pieces as whole as possible so you know what you're biting into. And then we finish that dish cacciatore style, which a lot of people grew up with, like chicken cacciatore. Right. I sure did. And it was delicious. But cacciatore is like anything that's hunter style. So
is that what that means?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So in this case, the hunter would go out, he'd get the rabbit. And then while he's out in the woods, he would forage too. So we're introducing what he would forage into the sauce, and that's the cacciatore style. So we start with a little bit of olive oil, shallot, garlic. We toast it, Fresno chili. It gets white wine. We reduce it, golden raisins, which plump up.
Oh, that's different. That's
yeah, yeah. It adds a little bit of sweetness to the dish. Yeah. And so that wine is reducing, also adding acidity and sweetness to the dish. The raisins are soaking that up. We add a little bit of white miso paste, which is different, but miso is what they call umami. Umami is that taste that just coats your tongue. It's unctuous. Think like Parmigiano Reggiano, think like caramelized tomatoes, mushrooms, something that just is full-bodied and flavorful.
I'm sorry, what's unctuous mean?
I have no idea. I just used the word.
Oh, got it.
But, you know, something luxurious, something that's, you know, rich.
Oh,
and
okay, nice.
If you ever taste a spoonful of miso paste, I don't recommend it. It's strong. It's going to give you that full-bodied, like, luxurious, rich flavor. So we add a little bit of that to the sauce, and then a little crushed tomato, hunk of butter to emulsify, beach mushrooms, maitakes, things that you would find in nature.
Wow. Sounds good.
It's okay. It's just okay. It's not great, but people order it. They seem to like it usually.
Folks, if you want to try some food that's just okay and not so great, try Abiano's Pasta Shop in Valparaiso and visit Nick and call in 769-9577. We only have like 10 minutes left, and get a gift card from Abiano's Pasta Shop out of Valparaiso.
So you mentioned all these chefs that you worked under in Chicago.
Yeah.
And that's where you – did you go to any other – did you go to a school too? Or did
you like high school.
On the job? Oh, wow.
Barely.
Okay.
But no, I did. I went to Kendall College out of Chicago briefly, and I'm one of the proud dropouts. I lasted about 8 months. And like I said, I started cooking when I was 8. I was learning a lot from these other chefs.
You know,
sounds like it didn't hurt you any.
Schools, well, maybe it did. I don't know. I mean, I'm not that good. Schools can be very expensive.
Oh, yeah.
And food is one of those things that kind of come from yourself. So the people that I learned from were more valuable for me than learning out of a textbook or learning out of this or that, which isn't...
We got a lot of practical experience.
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it's all
which
about.
Which isn't to knock what you can learn out of, you know, a school either. For a lot of people, that foundation is great. If you're just starting like 18, 17, you're right out of high school, that is very essential to getting you to where you need to be. But for me, I mean, growing up in the family that I did, everyone's always right. What you're doing in the food world is, you know, it's religion pretty much. My grandmother, what she did was very in stone. What my mom did was very much in stone. I grew up with that. So it was hard for me to follow recipes. It was hard for me to follow guidelines. Mm-hmm. I'm hard-headed. I'm not very smart. So the schooling for me wasn't what I really needed. It was more the hands-on experience, right, which I think a lot of chefs and a lot of restaurant owners, that's what they kind of lean towards as well.
Right. The hands-on experience, the structure of a restaurant, how to run the restaurant, just all those little things.
That's what what they want.
Right. Yeah. You know, you go to school and they teach you that, but if you don't have the practical experience, I mean, hands-on experience, all that kind of doesn't really make sense.
Yeah, it doesn't,
You know, you write it down, you go through the formalities. But unless you got a manager behind you saying, hey, we got to cut labor, or hey, what's your food cost?
Right.
You know, yeah, you can do the mathematician things on paper, but unless you're doing it for yourself.
It's very head-based. I go back to the Will Ferrell movie, Talladega Nights. There's a scene where John C. Reilly goes, Ricky Bobby's not a doer. Ricky Bobby's a driver. Mm-hmm. Chefs are kind of the same way. You do... But you also, I mean, you're a cook. Mm-hmm. You're a chef. Mm-hmm. It's not so much, I mean, there is a lot of mental game mm-hmm. in it, of course, to run the business side. But it's about going out there every single day and executing.
Right, exactly.
And it's almost like second nature. It's
what have you done for me lately?
It's not about what you can put on paper. It's not about ideology so much. It's about how you can execute it.
Right.
So.
Yeah, sometimes philosophy doesn't work.
No.
It really doesn't. You have to go out there and test it, and then you make the adjustments. Mm-hmm. Now, you got a lot of good savory food. I'm sure you have some desserts. What kind of desserts? You brought one in, too.
Yeah, we get them from Gordon Food Service.
No, you don't.
Out of Michigan City, Indiana.
You
guys
don't
need to make sure to go there.
I know he doesn't, because I've gotten
desserts
from...
Tell them Albano's Pasta Shop sent you, and I get a discount on all the food that I order.
So what did you make for us over here?
So my mom makes all the desserts.
Oh, really?
My mom is in the shop. And aside from being a pasta prep extraordinaire and somebody who keeps me grounded and humble, and if I need a slap to the face, she will absolutely do that. She makes the world's best, simplest desserts. And that's what we try to do. We're not trying to reinvent anything. We're not trying to be too showy. We're not trying to be super molecular, like cutting edge. It's pretty much the food and the desserts that I grew up with. So we start with the world's most basic ganache chocolate cake. Mm. And it's a cake that I grew up with. It's a cake that I remember eating every single summer. My mom would grow these giant, like 5 foot long zucchini out of the garden. And she'd pick them and she'd have this amazing, like, look at what the earth has treasured me with. Mm-hmm. And she would grate them and put them in the cake and it'd be the most moist cake ever. And that's what we have at the shop, you know, food that I grew up with, the desserts that I grew up with. And we start with that chocolate ganache cake with a little bit of zucchini kind of grated into it. So it's super moist. It's decadent without being heavy. It's light. And then she's got a cult following for all of her cheesecakes.
Is that what you brought us, the cheesecakes?
I did, yeah.
Okay.
That one is the white chocolate raspberry cheesecake. And she's kind of artistic with it on the top, but it's very light. You can just spoon into it or fork into it, and it's silk. It's mm-hmm. pure velvety silk, and it like cloaks your tongue with beauty. That's all I can say. It's simple but remarkable, and it's a great palate cleanser at the end of the meal. It's a great, like a lot of people kind of like her desserts more than my food usually. So it's frustrating for me because there's a lot of labor into the pasta, but at the end of the meal they eat her desserts and people get teary-eyed. People get you know, almost like that Ratatouille scene.
Oh yeah.
That just conjures up images of their childhood.
Do you guys do coffee?
We do, yeah.
You do, you
we're using machine? Dagger Mountain. Well,
oh,
no,
I've had Dagger Mountain on.
We're using Dagger, we're using Fluid. Fluid's got a new roasting lab out in Michigan City. We're using as many local people as possible, and if they're passionate about what they're doing, we're passionate about using them too.
Folks, we got about 5 minutes left. Give us a call, 769-9577, 769-9577. We're sitting here with Nick Albinos from Albino's Pasta Shop out of Valparaiso. They make everything from scratch. I mean, everything from their sauces to their pastas to, I would think they're out there killing the meat too. But
we
but,
are, yeah. Yeah, you guys, especially do it, you know, in this economy, they have absolutely. A system.
Like, do you guys have any like live entertainment or anything like that? You guys do anything with acoustics or anything like that?
I mean, if people want to hear my bad dad jokes, that's the only entertainment that I can offer.
I was
going to
ask, do you do
tables.
A stand-up routine up there?
I try. It's not great. Usually people feel sorry for me, and that's good for me
it
because
works.
People, yeah, they try to lift you up. People do. Mm-hmm. But that's,
do any farmer markets? You ever go out there and try to sell?
We actually do. Yeah, I got my start at a farmer's market in Chesterton.
Okay.
And this past summer, I was doing over in Valpo, and I think we're gonna do it again too. So and
what do you offer out there? You can your sauces or anything?
Full menu. So I
really
cook, yeah.
Which oh, you is, gotta be crazy,
it's,
man.
It's
beautiful.
Wow. I am a little. I've got a few screws loose in my head, probably, but we keep the full menu out there. We discount it just to get people to try it, and it's just me cooking on butane burners like I did when I got my start
in the like the 500 square foot place in Chesterton.
Yeah, pretty much.
What?
But,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. It's all good. But it's outdoors, so like I said, it's a little bit of a wait. There's a line of people. We do sell pasta too at these farmers markets, wholesale, frozen, packaged up.
It's fun cooking outside.
It brings me back to what I love. Yeah,
it's funny. If you cook outside with some good music, you can cook forever. It feels like
you really could. Yeah,
I mean that's just how. There's you know when you talk about food and music, those are the two things that in aroma, which is with food. Works on your muscle memory.
It's,
yeah, you know, like you eat something, you suddenly feel like Ratatouille.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
hear a song, it's like, oh, I remember that when I was 7. Aren't you proud of that? I mean, people eat your food, and sometimes they go back to when they were a kid. Wow, this tasted like when I was 12.
Yeah, and then you can see the kids too. I mean, we even have in the restaurant, we've got kids who come in. And my mom is making pasta up front, and we'll incorporate them. You know, you can make your own tortellini. We can give you a little demo. And it's very hands-on. And that type of, person-to-person interaction, it stays with you. It becomes innate. It becomes something that, you know, conjures up these warm, fuzzy feelings that food naturally does. That's what we try to recreate. That's what we try to do at the farmers markets. That's what we try to do at the restaurant.
Well, Sharon, we went. This was a fast hour.
It was very fast.
So we want you, Nick. You got a minute here. Why don't you give us like your hours of operation, your address, phone number, sure. Anybody you want to thank, anything like that?
I will thank my mom first because she's amazing, and she's helped me out since the beginning. Since I was like 18 years old, cooking food at the farmers market. All the customers that have supported me, people in business ventures with me as well, all my staff, they're the reason why I can take month-long vacations and forget about it. I'm just kidding.
You got a hammock in the back room, I know.
But they are amazing. They are outstanding people. To see them grow and turn into something completely beyond what I thought they would become.
Mm-hmm. You're exactly right.
It's amazing.
What's your hours of operation there?
We're open on Mondays now. We were Tuesday through Saturday, but now it's Monday through Saturday. We open at 11:30 every day, but I'm a sucker. If you want to come in earlier, the door is open.
Okay.
Don't tell everyone. we stay open on the weekdays, 9 o'clock, weekends, about 10. But again, I'm a yes man, so if you're out there, you're hungry, it's a Sunday, we're closed, I'm at the restaurant, I'll feed you.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, we want to thank Nick from Albino's Pasta Shop in Valparaiso for joining us today.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Thank you. And you know what? He enlightened us a lot. And, you know, there's a lot of food back here, Sharon. So that's what we're going to do next.
I'll take it back with me. You guys
got it now. So I want to thank all the listeners out there. I want to thank the people that called in. I want everyone to have a great weekend. I wish Crown Point basketball team good luck today in the playoffs. It's going to be beautiful on Sunday, Sharon. 60 and plus degrees.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah. Woo! Yeah. Jeez. Can't wait. So everyone have a great, happy, healthy, safe weekend. And join us next week on Let's Eat. Yasu!